Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to three of the four young men from Athens, Georgia, known as the rock band Lulwater. Their new CD, Silhouette. Stick around. When this show gets rocking, your neighbors will come a-knocking. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are more than 900 archived celebrity and pop culture interviews for your listening pleasure. The show is brought to you today by Audible. Audible is offering Mr. Media listeners a free audiobook download and a 14-day trial offer to give you a chance to check out their very cool service. I love listening to books on tape. If you've never tried it before, actors or sometimes the authors themselves read to you. It's great for the commute, the beach, or even unwinding before bed. You can choose a free audiobook from Audible's enormous library of best-selling titles, including The Help by Catherine Stockett, A Stolen Life by J.C. Dugard, and Bossy Pants by Tina Fey. Here's an excerpt from Bossy Pants, read by the author, Tina Fey.
Because I am nothing if not an amazing businesswoman, I researched what kind of content makes for best-selling books. It turns out the answer is one-night stands, drug addictions, and recipes. Here, we are out of luck. But I can offer you lurid tales of anxiety and cowardice. Why is this audiobook called Bossy Pants? One, because the name Two and a Half Men was already taken. And two, because ever since I became an executive producer of 30 Rock, people have asked me, is it hard for you being the boss, and is it uncomfortable for you to be the person in charge? You know, in that same way they say, gosh, Mr. Trump, is it awkward for you to be the boss of all these people? I can't answer for Mr. Trump, but in my case, it is not.
You can also download The Profiler, written by famed criminal profiler Pat Brown and yours truly, which Pat will read to you personally. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/radio. Again, that's audibletrial.com/radio for your free audiobook. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of local rock heroes who may want to quit the business after hearing Lulwater take center stage in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. When the first notes from Lulwater's new CD, Silhouette, begins to play, you'll know, without question, that these boys have their hearts firmly planted in Dixie. Now, it's not strictly Southern fried rock, but there are unmistakable bits of Lynyrd Skynyrd tucked away in Worse by Better. I hear the Georgia Satellites in places, too. And while they're not Southern per se, maybe a Bodine's twang in the guitar structure. And even a little R.E.M. in terms of the catchier tunes. Not surprising, since they're both born of Athens, Georgia. This is one of those rock bands that the moment you hear them, you're hooked. They rock hard, but in that melodic, rhythmic way that eventually makes for gold records, or whatever passes for gold records in the age of digital music. I think you'll hear that for yourself shortly as the band, John Strickland, Roy Beatty, and Nick Thomas, will be playing live right here on Mr. Media. Now, Brett Strickland couldn't make it today, and we will miss him, I'm sure. Lulwater is currently on the road, having just finished live dates in Indianapolis, Chicago, Nashville, and Atlanta. Today, they're coming to us from Roy's mom's house. Check your local listings for dates in your town starting September 14th. They're coming to New York, Brookfield, Connecticut, Greenville, North Carolina, then back home to Athens, Georgia, and so on. Right now, get to know them live and in person. Lulwater, welcome to Mr. Media. You know what? I have a feeling I said something wrong about somebody's house.
It's actually not Roy's mom's house. It's his. It's his house, yeah.
He doesn't look old enough to have a house. Come on, guys.
But it's funny.
All right. Well, stuff happens. Look, why don't we, now that we've got off and we've seen Mr. Media make an idiot of himself, let's introduce to everybody, starting from your right.
All right. Hey, I'm Roy. I play bass in Lulwater.
I'm Nick. I play drums.
I'm John. I play guitar and a lead singer.
You know, John, you should have said, and I play the fool.
And I play the fool?
There you go. John Lennon's famous line from the introduction. And before we get into the more serious things, tell me if you have one, who before Lulwater, who each of you would say was your favorite Athens band in the past?
You start?
I mean, I guess we all love Dead Confederate and Drive By Truckers, but my favorite one was a band called We Versus the Shark. I don't know, they're sort of like weird.
I grew up listening to REM just on the radio, being from Atlanta and Athens and stuff. But I mean, you know, I love Dead Confederate. The Wigs are a huge staple of my iPod playlist. So they're all a lot of great bands.
Cool.
I would say Truckers. That really Drive By Truckers really was the first Athens band that I think I really got into when I moved to Athens. That was very exciting for me to hear them and seeing them play at the 40 Watt. I think that's what really turned me on to Drive By Truckers.
I actually heard them once or twice. I haven't heard a lot of them, but I know they have that kind of sound that you don't forget, which is kind of the way I just described you guys now that I think about it.
Yeah, I don't know of any other band really that can pull off what the Truckers do. I know they definitely have that southern twang, but they put on a great live show. They have a lot of energy, and they just rock.
Well, go ahead.
Also, we have to put in Widespread Panic.
Brett
loves Widespread Panic. Favorite band of all time.
Yeah, we have to mention that. Brett grew up listening to Widespread Panic, and he is a huge Panic fan, so we want to put that in there for him.
And as a matter of fact, he couldn't be here today because he's in such a widespread... Sorry, never mind. John, when and how did the band get together?
Well, the band actually started in a basement. It was where Nick lived in Athens, and he had some mutual friends of ours that were playing guitar and, you know, wanted to kind of start a band up or whatever, and they invited me to come in and jam, and we just kind of all got together in this basement and started playing music and playing cover songs, and that's where it originated. But Nick is actually the founding member. He is. I'm a founding member as well, but Nick was the OG.
Yeah, we weren't really a band until John came in. We were playing Wonderwall covers.
Yeah, we played the bar scene. Yeah, we were playing covers and learning different stuff, and then we started getting serious, and we really wanted to write our own music and start making more of an impact.
Well, I read this great story about how Roy joined the band. Do you want to share that?
Yeah, we actually it was a pretty bad day. It was really one of the worst days that we've had.
Terrible day.
It was terrible. It was all right for you, yeah. But the we had a 3 o'clock gig. It was a game day. We were playing this party, and we're spread out. And like I said, Brett's in Savannah. He lives in Savannah, and he had a little misunderstanding with the law on that day. It happened to be on that day, and he was on his way up to the gig. And Nick and I were just scrambling. I mean, we had to get this party set up. Our bass player, our former bass player, just decided to quit that day, or vice versa, fired, whatever. It fell apart, and we didn't have any. We had no notice. We had, you know, no bass player, no lead guitar player. We didn't know what we were going to do, and I was furious. I was so mad. But we were playing. We found a lead guitar player to fill in. He just, you know, we had a good time. And then Roy's friend came up and said, "Hey, you know, my friend plays bass." And
you want to drop his name, Roe Gerald.
Yeah, Roe Gerald. He was talking to us and said, "I've got a friend that plays bass. Let me go get him," or whatever. So Roy had to.
I went to my friend's studio across town. I had to pick up an amp and a bass, and it was game day, so I had to get me and a friend to carry it like a mile to the frat house and everything. And it was, everything was horrible.
Yeah, it was.
Roads.
It was so bad. He had like a 30-minute hike he pushed his amp all the way through campus, and, you know, it took him forever. And then he got in, and we were on the last song, and then we just started jamming, and the song lasted a long time, I think.
Yeah.
We wanted to keep jamming with it.
We liked it.
Let me revisit the beginning part. Is that me and John actually played a couple songs. just me and him to the party, just drums and one guitar.
Yeah, it was horrible. It was so bad.
And they were just staring at us, just like,
everybody's like, you do not have your stuff together.
Yeah.
It must be hard. You know, I've never thought about that. You know, we think, oh, okay, well, you've got an instrument, and one of you can sing, at least, right? So you should be able to play songs. But I guess when they're composed for four, they're really intended for four, and unless you've had a chance, correct me when I go completely astray here, but unless you've had a chance to sit down and rearrange the parts, it's hard on the spur of the moment to do a song for four by two.
Definitely, and especially our type of music. We're very loud and
full sound.
Right, the full sound, and that's one reason we're so mad. We didn't have our members there to just really put on a good show for these people, and that's the most, I guess, depressing thing for that day. It's that we've got a lead guitar player who's never played with us before. Our bass player left. He wanted to, you know, tailgate more than play the show. And this guy just comes up, and we're always like, hey, I'm here. You know, let's play. So we pulled it off, though. I think the first thing that really got my attention with Roy, and I look back at Nick when this happened, is Roy just started playing these bass lines. And they were great. Yeah, they were.
So bass normally do.
Yeah, I know. It's bass lines, but yeah, he was playing this stuff, and me and we're gonna test this.
Yeah.
All right, and the things he was playing just stuck out, and I looked back at Nick, and Nick was like, oh wow. So it actually turned out to be the best opportunity for us because we found a bass player the day that our old bass player left, and it's what's made our band, honestly. Like
very,
that.
Very serendipitous.
Yeah. It definitely connected our band. I think Roy really put the final piece in
the little water puzzle.
In the little water puzzle. It definitely, he added a lot to it.
and Brett has stayed out of trouble with the local sheriff in Savannah until today?
I don't know, has he? I think he's good for
parking tickets.
Yeah, he has like $400 in parking tickets. It's crazy. But other than that, he's pretty good.
Did the addition of Roy change the sound at all or the direction of the band? I mean, what's happened since Roy joined that had not happened before?
I definitely think that Roy has changed the band, and it's solidified our sound, if I can say anything. It really, we weren't as connected as we were before, and I think a lot has to do with touring, you know, playing a lot of shows, being around each other a lot, and getting to know each other. That's what really made our band connect, is when we were on the road, we got to know everyone, and we all had the same goals in mind. And Roy's talent, I mean, he's, you know, one of the most talented people in the band, but I think his sound definitely, you know, he brings a lot to this band.
Yeah, we're all loud at our instruments. Very loud, full sound, and Roy just really complimented that because he's also loud and jumps around and stuff like that. So it really just brings like an energy, you know, that we didn't have before.
Is that why Roy had to get his own house?
Yeah.
Wow.
I asked you guys about Athens-based bands that you liked before, and I have to ask. I think it's evident to me anyway, but is there intentionally kind of an Athens sound to the band, or is that just a matter of where you're from?
I think we just kind of write music that we like playing and we like hearing. Yeah. Sounds like us.
We weren't going for like an Athens sound, you know, per se. It just kind of happens.
I think one thing with the Athens sound, the Silhouette album was recorded and produced by David Barbie, and he does Drive-By Truckers. He's done REM. He's worked with Panic. And he's definitely a staple in the Athens music scene. And that's one reason why I think that CD has a kind of an Athens sound. But we put our own spin on it just through songwriting and what we like to play. I mean, we just write music that we like to hear. And I don't know, sometimes it fits in Athens and sometimes it doesn't. So it just depends.
As is the case with, you know, any good band from any town. You know, sometimes you can hear that influence and sometimes you can't. It's funny. In my case, you know, I listen to the music before I read anything about the band because I don't want to be influenced. So last night I finally went back after listening to the album several times. I went back and then I started reading up on you guys. And I was like, Athens. Okay, that makes sense. because of what I thought I'd been hearing, and you know, just kind of connected. Now, it's been you know, it's been several years since Athens had this explosive influence that it did, you know, I guess in the 80s on rock music and culture. For people who have not been there or haven't been there in years, what is the town like today? Has it changed?
It's actually one great thing about Athens. The Georgia Theater just opened up, and that was a huge staple in the Athens music scene. And it burned down, and it's been closed for 2 years. And they just rebuilt it, and I think that due to that, there's been a, I guess here recently, like an
resurgence.
You're right. I mean, it's an explosion of everybody being downtown, seeing the theater, you know, great music coming in, and yeah.
Do you guys have roots in the town or schools there, or what's your personal connection to Athens?
University of Georgia is where we all met. we went to school there, and that's where we all met in bars and and playing music through, you know, mutual friends and things like that. But we all came to school here.
Musicians meeting in bars. Who would have guessed that would ever happen? now, one more thing, and then we're going to get to the first of the two songs you guys are going to play for us. I have to ask, though, can tourists in Athens find aging members of, like, REM and the B-52s on every street corner offering, you know, rock history tours of the town, things like that? Are they, you know, are they peddling their CDs and saying, hey, I was famous once, really?
No, but, I mean, I have a friend who just moved to Athens, and she actually lives, like, a few doors down from Michael's site. So if you're, like, around Athens enough, you'll start seeing different bits of the culture in the music scene.
Yeah, and actually, when I was growing up, I lived two houses down from one of the singers, B-52s, in Atlanta. So that was kind of cool. I remember trick-or-treating at her house, and she always had the worst candies, like apples and stuff. No one ever went to her house. It was kind of a cool novelty.
I remember back in the 80s, I went to I was a rock music critic for the Tampa Tribune, I think, at the time, and REM was playing. It was still a little early in their careers, but they'd had a couple albums out. And I was backstage, and I was interviewing, I want to say it was Buck, but I just said, I still can't believe I had, this is what a young man would say, an older guy would not say this at this point, but I said, why is it, you know, why is it that when Michael sings, no one can understand what he says? And he looked at me like, boy, are you the dumbest rock critic in the world? And then I did notice that a few years later, Michael started opening his mouth a little wider and you could actually understand the lyrics. And I like to take a little credit for that, just so you know.
No one can understand what I say to him, so it's, you probably won't be able to understand me.
I'm sure Michael would agree with that.
Well, let's get to some music. Now, I understand the first song you're going to play is Amsterdam. And
yeah.
And beside the... all the various obvious drug connections I'm sure you're going to make here, what can you guys tell us about the song?
Well, I wrote the song. I went to Europe for college, and I studied abroad there, and it was just an eye-opening experience for me. And I was in Amsterdam, and I was just reflecting on people that I missed, and most of it is really about my mother. I, for some reason, I was, you know, in Amsterdam on the sidewalk, sitting on the street watching people go by, and I was just writing. And it really was just about people that I miss and, you know, where I'm at in my life and where I don't want to be and where I, you know, I wanted to move forward in my life, and that's kind of where the song came out of.
Very good. All right. I think someone's getting up from their seat because apparently Nick is not going to play the air drums. So... we've got Roy on bass and John on lead guitar and vocals. And guys, go to it. It's all yours.
Hey, can you hear the bass?
I think everyone in the neighborhood can hear the bass.
We don't have any sound over here. It's all direct.
I can definitely hear you. No problem.
All right.
This place is so old, but everything. damn. What a beautiful wasteland. Come take me away. Come take me away.
Nice. Thank you, guys. Very nice. All right, let's take a quick break. This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to and hopefully watching the Mr. Media interview with Athens-based rock and roll band Lulwater. Their just released third CD is Silhouette, and we'll be right back. Hey folks, you can hear Mr. Media while on the go now with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone, whether you use an iPhone, iPod Touch, Android, BlackBerry Curve, or Palm Pre. And when you download Stitcher to hear Mr. Media today, you have a chance to win some real money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in your smartphone's app store. Download it, it's free, takes seconds. Then, during registration, hit the promo code box and enter Mr. Media, that's MR Media, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episode of Mr. Media will be waiting for you in Stitcher's favorites right on your phone. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too, always available to you on demand, no syncing. Some of my favorites include WTF with Marc Maron, Plus One Per Diem with Kevin Smith, and The Nerdist with Chris Hardwick. It's all free and all instant to you on Stitcher Smart Radio. And don't forget to win the money. Enter promo code Mr. Media, MR Media, when you register. And thanks for listening.
Hey, this is Larry Thomas, the soup Nazi from Seinfeld, and I just want to say, no soup for you, Mr. Media!
Bob Andelman, and you're listening to and hopefully watching the Mr. Media interview with Athens-based rock and roll band Lulwater, whose just released third CD is Silhouette. So, guys, who writes the music in the band?
We all do.
We all do, really. I know that for Silhouette, I wrote most of the material on the album, along with Brett. Brett Strickland also writes with us. The newer stuff that we have, though, it's a collective effort. I think everybody is putting in their, you know, their own style, and I think the next album and the progression as a band, it's all, you know, it's everybody. I really think that it's getting better because it is from everyone.
Right. After I joined, the first song that we've written after I joined was Let Me Out, and that's the only one of the album that I helped write. And after that, I've at least like arranged for every song that we've written.
Yeah, Roy's a behind-the-scenes guy. He does a lot of, you know, changing parts and making things sound...
Like recording.
Right, and he's really gotten big into recording the song and knowing the structure of how, you know, the song should sound. And we'll pick up acoustics and we'll start playing, and then Roy will say, hey, let's do this or let's do that. And it definitely changes the dynamic of the song for the better, I think.
Now, what's the modern translation of writing a song? Now, 20 years ago, it would be either that someone in the band went away with a pencil and a pad and literally wrote out lyrics or wrote out, you know, notes, or maybe someone sat at a piano. Today, I mean, when you guys talk about writing music, does that take place at a keyboard? Do you just sit around with your instruments? How does it actually come about?
Well, I think it comes in bits and pieces. And I know that I'll write some music, and then Brett will write a song, and then Roy will write a song, and then we'll kind of
we'll collectively.
Yeah, we'll start off with a riff or a structure or a chorus, or you know, some kind of beginning of a song, and then we'll get together, and then when we play and we jam, that's kind of where it all comes together.
Yeah, it's usually one of these guys will say, like, hey, I got this, you know, new riff I'm working on, how do you like it? And then from there, it just kind of snowball into like a full song all of a sudden, you know, where we're all saying, well, I like this part, you know, let's include this, not that. It's just, you know, before you know it, the song's done. So that's kind of how it's done, which is pretty cool.
Tell me about the first couple notes of Worse by Better. Am I wrong thinking that sounds very familiar to me?
We got a review about that song. It was saying that it had a Sweet Home Alabama feel, kind of the Skynyrd feel to it.
Right.
You know, but that really wasn't in mind when I was writing the song. I had, you know, I don't know how it just kind of came out that way, you know. But yeah, it's familiar.
Well, listen, as marketing, I mean, listen, we're realistic in this day and age. Marketing is an important part of a band, and when the first couple notes you hear take you to another place that you know and feel so familiar and comfortable with, it's not a bad thing. You know, as long as there's no copyright infringement, of course. But, I mean, it really instantly, in my case, here's a band I don't know. First couple notes, I go, oh, well, that's familiar. It's different, but it's familiar. And it's like, okay, I'm going to keep listening.
We definitely get that. We have the comment of, it's a new familiar sound.
We've heard that a lot.
We've heard that a lot. It's a new familiar sound. We have our own spin and our own way of creating the song, but people seem to, yeah, it's for some reason they're like, I've heard this before, I've heard something similar to this, or this is very comforting and familiar to me. But it's definitely a newer sound.
I think a lot of it's attributed to the fact that, you know, we kind of grew up in the 90s listening to, you know, Stone Temple Pilots, Pearl Jam, you know, Nirvana, stuff like that.
Pixies, yeah.
And it's like, you know, it kind of translates to our playing also, just because that's what we grew up on, that's what we love. And, you know, we're kind of putting a new spin on, you know, something that might sound familiar in that aspect.
Well, I could definitely, you know, for everything I said at the beginning about the Dixie sound, the Southern and the Athens, I could also hear any, pretty much any of this music turning up on like Sirius XM's Lithium Channel or All
right.
Nation or, you know, any of that. So, you know, it's good to fit in a couple categories. It's, you know.
Well, that's what we grew up on. I mean, I know the 90s music scene, especially the grunge rock scene, definitely influenced me heavily. You know, I was a huge Smashing Pumpkins fan, big 90s rock fan, and that's where my influences come out. And if Brett was here, he would tell you he has a different influence. He didn't really listen to the 90s rock. He grew up on
jam bands,
a lot of Panic. Bob Marley is a big reggae fan. You know, and I think that the two styles, they work well together. I know that I'll lay something down that Brett couldn't write, and then Brett will write a song that I could never write. And that's what really, the duality of it makes it really special to us.
Now, Silhouette is your third album, although I guess the makeup of the band has changed over that time. What have you guys learned about the process and your own talent since recording for the first time?
Oh, man. the first album was an eye-opening experience, say the least. You know, that's really the first album is what we went in and we realized how bad we were, and we've definitely grown since then. But
I mean, I literally just couldn't play drums.
I mean, yeah, we just went in there and bounced around and banged on guitars, and it sounded awful. But it's just one of those things that you learn along the way. I think that we're definitely a trial and error band. In every aspect,
yeah.
we learn as we go, and it, that's kind of what comes out from playing and touring, and, you know, knowing who the guys are. And I think too that's a big influence on the newest record, Silhouette, is that we all know each other, and we all got to know each other, and we all spend insane amount of time together,
yeah.
And that's what really connects us. And I think before that, we never experienced that. We never had a unit.
Well, and that feeds into my next question. What have you guys learned? You say you're together all the time. What have you learned about yourselves and each other that maybe you'd sort of kind of like to forget and never have discovered since hitting the road together?
Well, I think that there's definitely – we're all very close friends, and I think that really helps. We don't – you know, everyone gets in arguments. You have four guys in a van for, you know, however many weeks, and there's going to be – you know, there's going to be aggravations, and – that comes along with just being around someone for so long. But I think that we just have fun with it, and we do what we're supposed to do. We play music and we tour, and we're doing things that we just love to do. And we all have the same goal in mind, and that's what really kind of keeps us together.
I think Roy had an answer for that question.
Right. I was going to say, we're just four best friends that get to travel around America for now and play music together every night. It's great.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell us that somebody in the band doesn't change his socks enough or something like that. But okay.
Brent. Yeah.
We all have different things we're guilty of, though.
Right. I'm a coffee guy.
Dynamic.
They get aggravated with me every morning for, going to the coffee.
John has his routine.
I have my routine.
It's tried and true.
Yeah, everybody gets
sandwich
aggravated.
For lunch every day.
I haven't had a sandwich for lunch in the last year. I did well.
Tried and true.
I ate whatever. I ate what I need.
All right. Well, let's get to your second performance of the show. Now, I understand this next song is brand new and does not have a title yet. Up and there goes Nick, disappearing off into the.
Yep.
For those of you listening instead of watching, Nick has split from the middle of the group. He's off to the side. We really want him to play.
He left.
All right.
So, what can you tell us about this song?
This is just a song that John brought over to my house one day. We were just trying to record some demos just to get some stuff down. He brought up this new song. We played it out on the porch. We liked it, arranged it. We don't have it recorded yet.
This is a new song. We're trying to get back in the studio at the end of this year, and we'll have more updates about it, once we figure out exactly what we're going to do and when we're going to do it. But we're playing this song live, and it kind of brings a new life to it. And it's definitely a loud rock song. So it's fun to play acoustic.
Yeah, it's just a stripped down version.
Yeah.
We like it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Lulwater singing the song with no name.
Never thought you were a cynical child.
Very nice, guys. Thank you. We can definitely hear that Seattle sound in that song. No one's gonna think that came from Athens, Georgia. All right. Well, folks, listen. You can find out when the Men of Lowellwater will be performing in your town by checking out their website, which is lowellwaterband.com. It's L-U-L-L-W-A-T-E-R band.com. Guys, I'm assuming that people can find the new CD, Silhouette, in all the usual places, iTunes. I don't know. Where do people get music anymore? Amazon, iTunes?
Yeah, that's where you can get it. iTunes, Amazon. What else? It's around. We have on Lowellwater Band site. You can go to the buy links and pick it up on iTunes, Amazon, Overstock.com. There's a lot of different outlets that we have. So yeah.
All right, and we'll make the link available as well on MrMedia.com. I know you guys are on MySpace. Any other social media you want to send people to find you?
Facebook.
Definitely Facebook. I think Facebook, Reverb Nation, Twitter. MySpace, all that stuff.
Last FM
Radio, Pandora Radio.
Okay, very good. So easy to find, folks. Great stuff. My only concern is sometimes that the Skype video does not translate the music, the live music, as well as we would like. But I'm telling you, go out and check out this band. You're really going to like them. They're coming live to all kinds of places starting September 4th. And guys, John, Roy, Nick, Men of Lowellwater, and give our regards to Brett. Thanks so much for joining us on Mr. Media today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Hey, y'all. This is Lauren Bowles. You know I play Holly, the new waitress at Merlot's on HBO's True Blood, right? All right, here's the deal. I'd rather spend all night with them damn bloodsuckers than another minute listening to that Mr. Media radio. No thanks.